Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He's got the whole world in his hands. I'm sure all of you are familiar with that little song. There's some truth in those words. It's a biblical truth. Every power is at his disposal. Every authority under heaven and earth is his. He has created everything. He holds everything in his eternal hands. And so Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus holds the whole world in his hands. And what will he do with those hands? He will remove those outer garments, take a bowl of water, and use those divine hands to wash the dirty, scummy, travel-worn feet of his disciples. He knows that the Father has given all things into his hands. And so he takes those same hands and washes the feet of those who have walked with him day after day. God has hands. This is not a metaphor. In the person of Jesus, God is joined to human flesh. And so God has hands, as well as feet, eyes, and ears. And with those hands, he goes down to take up the feet of men, sinful men. Of course, Peter protests this action of Christ, and it's easy for us to understand why. God should not wash feet. This is unbecoming of any God. God should be far removed from their creatures. Gods should not become men, should not unite themselves with sinful human beings. God should not have human flesh, and certainly not use those hands to wash dirty feet. And so Peter protests, "You shall never wash my feet." But Jesus' words must have frustrated Peter. "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." And so Peter, hearing those words, backs down. But I wonder if he still had some sense inside of him that all this was wrong. Washing feet is not what Christ should do. That's slave labor. That's what a servant would do. But then Jesus goes even further. "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And then later in the chapter, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." With these comments, Jesus is taking Christian love to a new level. Love, which many people put on a high pedestal, a high and lofty position. But Jesus here is taking love to the lowest level, to the level of a servant, a foot washing servant. And as we think about this, we think, okay, I can go along with loving my neighbor to a point, but love as I have loved you, with that kind of foot washing love, no thanks. What does it really mean to love as Jesus loves? It means to love selflessly and sacrificially. That's the new commandment. That new commandment, which in Latin is the word, the phrase mandatum novum. By the way, that's where we get the word mandi, command. This new commandment was given by Jesus on a particular night, the night in which he was betrayed and given into the hands of sinful men. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. It's easy. Do this just as Jesus asks you to do. Love like he loved. Love those who can never deserve it, those who hate you, those who reject you, who are inclined to your destruction. Yet Jesus loved them, washed their feet, assumed the posture of a servant, and even worse, absolved their sins, give them the forgiveness of sins, something that they would never have deserved. That's the kind of love Jesus has. And that's the kind of love that he wants us to show. The new commandment is love like this, like the love that Jesus showed. Incarnational love. Love as flesh among the flesh. Love as sinners among sinners. Love those who cannot and will not ever deserve your love. Love to forgive those who are completely unforgivable. Love with your hands. Love in order to remove the filth, the guilt, and the shame of your brother or sister. Love because your love will never be repaid. Love sacrificially. Love and expect nothing in return. Love as Jesus has loved you. But who can do that? Who can do that? No one. And yet Jesus gives this command, an absolute. Love as I have loved you. Jesus loves perfectly. And he doesn't wait for our love to come up to his level before he shows love to us. No. He loves regardless. If foot washing were the extent of Jesus' love, that in itself would be hard, difficult, impossible for us to imitate. But he just doesn't have hands to take up the disciples' feet. He has the whole world in his hands, and he intends those hands to be nailed to the cross. This is his love. Behold the man who loves those who in just a short time will abandon him, flee to save their own lives. Behold the man who loves the unlovable, the rebellious, the sinful. Behold the man who loves those who could never deserve it. Behold the man who is God and who, in order to love his creatures perfectly and completely, became man. Behold the man who loves the world completely and perfectly in his death on the cross. If you want to love like his, you've got to be loved like this. As I have loved you, is here. It's on the altar. The fruits of Jesus' sacrificial love are in his Holy Supper for you to eat and to drink. This man gave himself in the perfect act of love, who on the night when he was betrayed took bread, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples. This is the man who poured his blood into the mouths of his disciples to forgive their sins. This is the man veiled in bread and wine, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, for your life, for your salvation. This feast of love fulfills Jesus' command to love one another. Here, as you are fed and nourished with the body and blood of the only one to ever love like this, you are strengthened in your love for others. As it says in the prayer, in fervent love toward one another. Disciples who feed together on the same loving Lord are united in love. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In order to love like Jesus, behold the man on his altar, on the paten, in the chalice, in the supper. Behold the man who loves you enough to forgive you freely, fully, week after week. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.